This week's Parsha is Parshas Baaloscha, which has a lot... Oh, wow, fantastic. Has a lot of exciting sections within it. The first section begins with the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. Hashem tells Moshe, Daber al Aaron, v'amarta elav, tell Aaron, and explain to him, Baaloscha es haneros, when you lift up the candles... El mul pnei hamenorah ya'iru shivas haneros. The candles should be turned towards the face of the menorah. In other words, the wicks should be tilted towards the central column of the menorah. All the flame should be turned towards the menorah. Why is this section here? If we had to think of where to place the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, maybe somewhere in the book of Vayikra, maybe with the beginning of Vayikra that teaches us how to perform different karbanos, maybe that should be a suitable location for the mitzvah of lighting menorah, or maybe somewhere back in Truma and Shmos, where we talk about the menorah, that would be the place to tell us about the lighting of the menorah. Maybe in Kisisa, where the Torah speaks of the Shemen Zayisach, the pure olive oil, that would be the place to tell us also of using the pure olive oil to light the menorah. Why is it here in the book of Bamidbar, after Parshas Naso, suddenly the mitzvah of the menorah? So Rashi quotes a medrash that this section is located here for a very powerful reason. Parshas Naso tells the story of the lighting or the offerings of the Nesiim, where the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, was dedicated by... Welcome, please, come take a seat. Each of the leaders of the tribes, there were 12 tribes, so each tribe had a Nasi, had a leader. They all brought korbanos for Chanukas HaMizbeach, for the inauguration and the sanctification of the Mizbeach. And Aaron felt bad that he didn't bring a korban. Neither he nor his shevet were represented in the offering of these korbanos. So Hashem tells Aaron, don't worry, shalcha gdola mishalahem. What you have is even greater than they. Sha'ata madlik umeita v'saneros. You get to light and to clean and to prepare the flames of the menorah. They got to bring korbanos to inaugurate the mizbeach, but you get to light the menorah. That's the Rashi, and that's why Baaloscha is here, because it was a consolation to Aaron. Don't feel bad that you didn't get to inaugurate the Mizbeach. You get something more special. You get to light the menorah. They don't get to do that. So the Ramban asks a very famous question, which is, there's a lot of things that only Aaron can do and others couldn't do. Even when the Nesiim brought karbanos, so what does it mean to bring a karban? The Yisrael finds an animal, he dedicates it, he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, puts his hand on it, and he leans on it, and then maybe he slaughters it. But the major acts of service, Kabbalah Sadam, catching the blood, Holacha, walking the blood to the altar, Zrika, throwing the blood on the altar, Haktara, taking the piece and throwing it into the fire and burning it, all of this has to be done by a Kohen. It has to be done by Aaron and his children. So why does he feel bad that he didn't get to bring the karbanos? Hashem says, but there are things that only you can do. You get to do the menorah. Within the karbanos, there are things that only Aaron can do. The Kabbalah and the Holacha and the Zrika and the Haktara. Only Aaron can do those things. There's a lot of things that only Aaron can do. And why does that make Aaron better than them? Shalcha gdola mishalahem. Your gift is greater than their gift. So the Ramban gives a very beautiful answer. The Ramban explains that, of course, Aaron knew that there was acts of service that only he could do. But what Aaron was upset about was that there was a certain special holiness to beginning something. You know, there's a certain charm to a pioneer, the person who gets the breakthrough, the innovator, the one who opens up the door to something. And the Nesiim, by bringing the Karbanos, they were the pioneers who brought the Shechina into the Mishkan. And they inaugurate, they sanctify the Mizbeach. Aaron felt bad that his service was there. Once you have a temple running, he's needed. But he didn't get to set it up. He didn't get to be machanech. He didn't get to inaugurate the service. So Hashem told him, don't worry. Think about the menorah. And that's really a reference to Hanukkah. Because in the times of Hanukkah, the temple actually was put on hold. The Greeks had come and they had stopped the service of Karbanos. And there are actually 3 years of no Karbanos being offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Then they have the whole revolt of the Chashmonaim against the Greeks and the famous battles. And eventually the Chashmonaim win. And they come back. They have to dedicate the Beis HaMikdash. They have to bring Kedusha back after it had left. They have to be machanich. They have to inaugurate the Mizbeach and all the utensils. And who did that? It was all Kohanim who did it. It was the Kohanim. Matityahu was a Kohen Gadol. His sons were Kohanim. The Kohanim were the ones who were fighting. The Kohanim were the ones who were doing the service. And eventually they have the miracle of the menorah. And that, based on their miracle of the menorah, we have every year on Hanukkah, the mitzvah to light candles and to remember that miracle and to have a menorah. So when we light the menorah, that's really all based on the actions of Kohanim. So that's the consolation. Aaron, you feel bad that you didn't get to inaugurate the temple, but you actually did. You got to participate in the inauguration of Hanukkah. And that inauguration was much greater than the inauguration of the Nesiim, because the Nesiim inaugurated the Mishkan, but the Mishkan eventually closed. We entered Eretz Yisrael, we disbanded the Mishkan, we built Shiloh, then we built Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, but the mitzvah of Hanukkah, that's forever. Even when we're in exile, we still have Hanukkah. So the Chanukah Samizbeach, the inauguration of the altar, was only for a period of time, whereas Hanukkah, that's forever. That's what the Ramban says. So the Shem Yishmuel has a very beautiful explanation for perhaps what's the significance of this. How is Hanukkah the consolation to Aaron? Aaron, don't worry. Because of you, we have the mitzvah of Hanukkah. And again, the big question here that we all struggle with is, what was Aaron upset about? After all, he gets to do a lot of acts of service. So why is he concerned that he didn't get to be the one who's, you know, a partner in the inauguration of the Mishkan? So the Shem Yishmuel suggested the following. He heard from his father that the job of the Levim is to sing. The job of the Kohanim, though, is to do the service of the Karbanos. Kohanim have to wear a uniform. They have to wear big day kahuna. Levim don't have to wear a uniform. So what's the difference between them? He suggested the following. There are really two parts to religious service. Sometimes there's a gift from above. Hashem sends a gift. Hashem inspires. Hashem sends an amazing bracha. And then the challenge is to seize that gift and to channel it, to take advantage of the moment. You know, I remember once hearing that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz of blessed memory, when he tried to understand the marvel of the 1940s, where the 1940s are the decade of the Holocaust. The Holocaust really picked up in earnest in 1941 when Hitler invaded Eastern Europe, when he invaded the Soviet Union, and he just started to murder en masse the Jews. Till that point, it was mostly slave labor. So the Holocaust starts, the murder of millions. That's the beginning of the decade. It ends in 45, and you have this terrible, terrible crisis of all the displaced persons, no place for them to go, the loss of Europe. And then in 48, suddenly you have a state. For the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jewish people have independence. They have an army. You know, the same nation that was slaughtered by the millions, suddenly with a small little army, is defeating multiple armies against it. So what an amazing turnaround. So Rav Chaim Shulevitz said that he felt that after the war, it was a time of tremendous mercy. That after there had been a terrible difficulty that Hashem had sent, so like a father who punishes a child, after the punishment, the father feels very bad and says, you know what, I'll give you whatever you want. And the nation chose to have a state. So once they chose, Hashem gave it. But had the nation chosen Mashiach, it would have gotten Mashiach too. There's nothing Hashem would have said no to at that moment. At that moment, there was such an Eis Ratzon after such a horrible punishment. There was so much rachamim that it was up to the people how to channel that shefa. And the people chose to create a state. And that was it. Hashem gave it. Hashem wasn't going to say no. But that's what the survivors wanted. Hashem was going to give it. Hashem gave to the nation at that moment. And that's what happens. Sometimes Hashem sends something from heaven, and it's really in the hands of the nation to determine where it's going to go. And that's one level of service. You know, a person suddenly gets a... It could be the opposite, not out of rachamim, but out of chesed. You know, Hashem suddenly... it's Pesach, and it's an inspiring time, and there's all this spirit of inspiration, and a person is just to take advantage of what's coming down. There's an amazing moment. But sometimes it's not that way. We don't feel inspired, and we don't feel that Hashem is giving brachos. And it's incumbent on us not to seize what's coming down, but to go up and bring things down. We have to elevate things from below to above. We have to find inspiration and growth and development. And as we grow and we reach higher and higher, we trigger blessings. So sometimes the blessings are milamadla lamata, from above to below. And sometimes the blessings are mimata lamala, from below to above. And that's the difference between the Levim and the Kohanim. The Kohanim, their job is to notice the gifts that Hashem is sending and to direct those gifts. The Levim, their job is to climb up from below to above. And hence the different tasks. The job of the Levim is to sing. When a person sings, there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of inspiration in song. It creates dveikus, attachment with Hashem. The Levim are singing and they are inspiring and creating a tremendous arousal to move from below up. Whereas the Kohanim, their jobs are to, you know, channel that which is coming from above and to make sure that it goes to the right direction. That's why the Kohanim have to have a special uniform, because the idea of a uniform is to cover things and to hide things. And when you have a gift coming from Shamayim, it can go to the wrong direction. If you don't channel it in the right place, it can go to the wrong spot. So whenever you're worried about things going to the wrong spot, the best thing is to hide it. You know, think of, there are all sorts of, you know, forces that sometimes take things and take it to the wrong place. You know, let's say Hashem sends a person a gift of wealth. It's very possible that a person will say, okay, Hashem gave me this gift, so I put it in the wrong spot. Suddenly, Vayishman Yeshur and Vayivat, the person thinks, you know, I'm so strong, I'm so powerful, I don't need anybody, I don't need Hashem, and arrogance gets to a person's head, and all these negative forces take advantage of the gift that Hashem gave a person. So when gifts are coming from above to below, there is a tremendous danger of it being, you know, seized by the wrong powers. And that's why things have to be hidden, covered. The job of the Kohanim is really very internal. It's really based on what they're thinking. If they think the wrong thoughts, it becomes pigel. If they offer a karban with the wrong motivation, a karban chatas, thinking that it's a shlamim, it's not a suitable karban. It's all very, very internal, because when you're dealing with what Hashem is giving you, you want to keep things internal, and you want to focus on keeping it away from being turned into something material and shallow and superficial, to maintain the holiness the way it really is. Whereas the Levim, they're very external. They're very public, and they're singing, and they're excited. Because when you're starting from below going up, you don't have to worry where things are going to go. You know, you're starting from the bottom. You're climbing up. It's not as if Hashem gave a gift, and now all these forces are trying to grab it. You're climbing up to Hashem. When you're climbing up to Hashem, be open and sing and let other people see. And don't worry that things are going to be taken advantage of. On the contrary, you're going up to Hashem. You can keep going higher and higher. So maybe in light of that, that's the explanation of what Aaron was upset about. Aaron said, all the other tribes, they get to do external things. You know, they're public, and they're offering karbanos, and they're the ones donating it. They don't have to wear a special uniform. I'm the head of the tribe of Levi. Now, I know I'm a Kohen. As a job of a Kohen, I have internal jobs. But what about the leader of Levi? As the leader of Levi, I should have an external job of bringing karbanos and climbing up from below to on top. So Hashem tells him, listen, you light the candles. And the term that Hashem used for the lighting of the candles is b'ha'aloscha saneros. When you lift up the flames, when you lift up the flames, when you're starting below and lifting a flame up, not that you're grabbing a gift that Hashem is sending down and channeling it. You're lifting up from below to above. Achitei shal heves olam me'eleha. Until the flame is rising on its own. You have to inspire until you're growing up on your own from your own power. And that's the special job of the Levium, to climb up and to go to ever a higher place. In light of that, maybe that's really what the Ramban means. The Ramban says that the gift of menorah, that never stops. Serving in the Beis HaMikdash, once you're in exile, you don't have the service of the Beis HaMikdash. But lighting the menorah, that never stops. What's the difference? In terms of service of the Beis HaMikdash, where it's a gift that Hashem is sending down and the Kohanim are trying to channel it. So when you have a time of exile, and a lot of negative forces, whether it's the Babylonians or the Greeks or the Persians or the Romans and the Christians or the Muslims, trying to latch in, Hashem doesn't want us to try to grab those gifts that he's sending down, because these negative forces might take advantage. Yerushalayim was a city surrounded with a wall. Yerushalayim was hidden. The pasuk says, Yerushalayim harim savivla. Jerusalem has mountains around it. It's a fortress to keep away those who should be kept away. But in exile, you can't keep anything away. You know, we're mixed in with the nations. So therefore, the service of Kohanim is stopped, because now the nations might latch on to the gifts that Hashem is sending, and they might misuse it. But the service of the Levium, that can continue even in exile, because the service of the Levium doesn't have to worry about the external forces latching on. The service of the Levium is to climb from below up, and that you could reveal. So the lighting of the menorah of Ner Hanukkah, where the people initiated, that can go on even in exile. On the contrary, we have Pirsumei Nisa. We light it out in the street, and we light it in a place where things are, you know, a lot of lowly things are, beneath ten tefachim and in the public domain. And we're not worried. Because when we're starting, when you initiate, you don't have to worry, oh, what's going to be? Are people going to take advantage? Are they going to misuse? Are they going to misdirect? When it's starting from you, there's no worry about anything being misdirected. And maybe that's even the explanation of a Gemara. The Gemara says that there was an argument whether the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is to light the candle or to place the candle. The Gemara says, lahalacha, the mitzvah is to light the candle. In other words, if the mitzvah would be to place the candle, so basically what are you doing? You're taking oil, you're putting a wick, that's the mitzvah. That can't be the mitzvah, because that's sort of like taking godly things and putting them in place. No, the mitzvah is for you to initiate, for you to build from where you're at. And that's the idea of lighting the candle, of lighting the menorah, and going higher and higher. And there's an interesting halacha. You don't even need a kohen to light the menorah. Anyone can light the menorah. To prepare the menorah, you need a kohen. But to light the flame, actually a non-kohen can do too. Now this explains it, because if the nature of kohen, the kohen's service, is to, you know, find the tremendous rays of inspiration coming down from heaven and to channel them, that's what kohanim do. But the mitzvah of Levium is not to find the gifts and to channel them. It's to climb up and to start and to grow from below to above, so that everyone can do, not only Kohanim can do. And that's why even a Yisrael can light the menorah, which is this amazing mitzvah. So in light of this, says the Shem Yishmuel, this is a lesson for each person. that whenever a person gets a gift from Hashem, a person should be very careful not to misuse that gift. Let's say a person finishes a masechta, or he, you know, reaches a certain height in mitzvah observance or doing good things. He has to be very careful when you get to a certain gift and you get a feeling and you know this is a special feeling that Hashem gave me. Don't allow it to go to the wrong place. Don't allow it to make a person's head swell or to become arrogant, because then it can be misused. If you're climbing up from below to above, then you can be open. When you're getting a gift, you have to be careful not to allow it to be misused. The Chassidim say, the Pasuk says in the blessings, Uvo'u alecha kalabrachos ha'ele, and all these blessings will come upon you, v'hisigucha, and they will catch you. The brachos should catch you the way you are. Not that your head should swell because of the blessings. You get the blessings and you're still the same person you were before you had the blessings. You are after you have the blessings. That's the way to merit, to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendous things and to use them in the right way. There is another section in this week's parsha after the section of lighting the menorah. And that's the section of the trumpets. Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a special mitzvah to make two trumpets of silver. And then the Torah has all sorts of instructions. What does one trumpet blast me? What happens when one trumpet is blown? What happens when both trumpets are blown? You know, there's a certain code. Blowing of trumpets as a sign for the camp to break. Blowing of trumpets as a sign for everybody to gather. The Torah says, very strange pasuk, Hashem tells Moshe, Asei lecha shtei chatzos ros kesef. Make for yourself two trumpets of silver. So the Medrash says, Ata oso mishtamish behem. You make them, and you are the one who can use them. V'lo acher mishtamish behem. But the trumpets that you made, no one else should use. Only Moshe was supposed to use the trumpets that Moshe made. So how do we understand that? Why would Hashem give a mitzvah for Moshe to make trumpets and only Moshe to use them? No one else can blow the trumpets. I mean, there were many, many Jews. They all had the abilities to blow shofar and trumpets. So why would these given only to Moshe? So the Shem Yishmuel says a very beautiful idea. He says a shofar, a horn of an animal, is actually a symbol of humility. The Yerushalmi says that on a fast day, the people would blow shofaros as a message. We are, you know, braying before you, lowering ourselves before you like an animal. Just like this is from an animal, and an animal doesn't have much intelligence, we are lowering ourselves before you, Hashem. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin says something similar. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Adamu Vehima Toshia Hashem, man and animal save God. The Gemara says, who does God save? Bnei Adam Shema Rumim Bedas, people who are filled with knowledge, who make themselves like an animal. They'll say, I don't have any knowledge, I lower myself like an animal. And that's the idea of the shofar. The shofar comes from the animal. It's a sign of submission, to be like an animal, accepting. If that's what the shofar represents, what do the trumpets represent? So the Shem Yishmuel suggests that the trumpets represent the opposite. They represent ego. They represent pride. So the shofar represents submission, and the trumpet represents spine. It represents standing upright, being proud. So in light of that, says the Shem Yishmuel, that's the pshat in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Asei lecha shtei chatzotzros, make for yourself trumpets. The trumpets are for you to use, but no one else to use. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble of all people. Anav mikol adam. So since he's the most humble of all people, someone who's extremely humble, he's the person who can use trumpets, and he doesn't need a shofar. He can use trumpets, because if he uses trumpets, it's okay. He's so humble that being elevated is not going to ruin him. He'll stay humble. But Yehoshua, he should use a shofar. He's not as humble. To stay humble, he should use a shofar. At war, they used to blow trumpets, not a shofar. Why would they blow a trumpet? Because when you go to war, you can't be meek. When you go to war, you have to be very, very arrogant. You have to have holy arrogance to go to war. You have to feel that the enemy, they're nothing, they're weak, bunch of ants, we're going to trample them, we're going to destroy them, they're cockroaches, they don't stand a chance against us. And only with that confidence can you go into that grave, grave danger called war. So the Shem Yishmuel suggests that each one of us is in a state of war. We're at a war against materialism, against lowliness, against averos, against sins. We're in a state of war. So in a state of war, we have to be very, very courageous. To be courageous, we have to be confident. We have to have holy arrogance that we will overcome them. And that's what the Pasuk says about David HaMelech, that when he would go to war, Vayigbal libo b'darchei Hashem, his heart became very exalted when he was walking on the roads of God. When he's walking on the roads of God to do the right thing, he was very confident, very sure of himself. That's also the famous Medrash on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Yonati b'chagavei asela, you, my nation, the Jewish people, are my dove in the clefts of the rock. Says the Medrash, why are the Jewish people compared to a dove? The dove seems to be soft, but if someone tries to attack its young, it fights like a lion. So to the Jewish people, whatever I tell them to do, they're soft. But when the nations of the world try to get them to stop being loyal to me, they fight like a lion. That's also the idea in Parsha Shlach, we'll get up to next week, that the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu changed Hoshea ben Nun's name to Yehoshua. So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that when Moshe saw that Hoshea ben Nun was so humble, he added a yud to his name to call him Yehoshua. Now, where did that yud come from? That yud came from the word Sarai. Avram Avinu's wife's name was Sarai, and Hashem changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. So the yud from Sarai was taken from Sarai and added to Hoshea to become Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu turned Hoshea ben Nun into Yehoshua by taking the yud from Sarai and making from Sarai Yehoshua. In other words, Yehoshua was too humble. He was going into battle. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a little bit of Sarah. Sarah was tough. Sarah throws out Yishmael. Sarah threw out Hagar. Sarah is a person of spine, of ego, of pride, of power. To go to battle against the other spies and not to be influenced by them, we have to be confident. We're right, they're wrong. We're not going to give in. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu blows the trumpets, and the trumpets are needed at a time of war. So in light of this, there's another Medrash. The Medrash says, Moshe, you can use the trumpets because you are a king. Others can't use the trumpets, they're not kings. But David HaMelech, he will use the trumpets because he is a king. So the question is, what do you mean David HaMelech is the one who's going to use the trumpets? What does the Medrash mean? Kohanim used to use the trumpets. The Pasuk says in the Beis HaMikdash, they would use the trumpets. Utzkatem b'chatzotrot, you are to blow with the trumpets. Al oloseichem v'al zivchei shalmeichem. On Titus's arch in Rome, there's a picture of the trumpets. That was the second temple. We didn't have kings anymore. But the explanation is like this. Moshe used the trumpets because he was very humble. So he could have ego. The Beis HaMikdash itself created a feeling of humility. The Beis HaMikdash was the place where Hashem's presence was manifest. In front of Hashem's presence, everyone felt very humble. And as a result, there, everyone could use trumpets, because everyone was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was the tremendous power of the Beis HaMikdash. That the Karbanos created an enormous sense of humility. The animals being sacrificed made a person feel that his ego was being sacrificed. And then there could be the trumpets. Lifnei HaMelech Hashem, you can blow trumpets. Because in front of the Beis HaMikdash, when you're so humble, then you can have a feeling of ego. But when you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then it's not the time to blow trumpets, to feel ego, because then ego can go too far. When David HaMelech was alive, there was no Beis HaMikdash. In fact, there wasn't even Mishkan Shiloh. So you would have thought that how could David HaMelech blow trumpets? So that's what the Medrash says. David could blow trumpets like Moshe could blow trumpets. Because David was very humble. David says in Tehillim, Anochi Tolas V'lo Ish. We have the famous story that when the Aron HaKodesh was being brought up from the was being brought up to Yerushalayim, the Pasuk says David was dancing in front of the Aron HaKodesh with all of his strength, and his robe opened up, and his wife Michal was looking through the window, and she said, "What's going on? What are you dancing like this for?" And David said, "Why not? I have to honor the Aron HaKodesh." She said, "But you look like a lowlife. You look like a regular person." David said, "I should look even worse. I don't even care. I'm not like your father. Your father, Shaul, was worried how people would think of him. He said to Shmuel, you have to come with me. Don't let the people think that you're upset, that God is upset. I'm worried. I don't care what people think of me. I just want to give God honor." David was a person of tremendous humility. And with that tremendous humility, he was able to blow trumpets. And that's a very powerful lesson, that there is a time for trumpets. There's a time for ego, especially at war. And people are very humble. They're the ones who are worthy to be able to have that ego. There's another section in this week's Parsha, which is a very troubling section. Suddenly the people are complaining, and they want to have meat. Torah says that, there was a period of time when the cloud was over the camp, then they knew to rest. When the cloud would move, they knew to travel. Hashem tells Moshe, make the two trumpets and blow them. And right afterwards, here in Perek Yud, Torah says that they set out to travel. They asked Yisro to join them. Yisro said no. Then Vayehi ben Tsoa Ha'aron, whenever they traveled, the Aron would move ahead of them. And the Torah says, Vayehi ha'am kimis onanim rabba aznei Hashem. And the people were complainers. It was bad in the eyes of Hashem. Vayishma Hashem v'yichar apo. Hashem got angry, and he sent a fire, and edges of the camp were killed. Moshe Davin, the fire subsided. They called it Tav Eira, because there was burning the fire of Hashem. And then the people are upset. They have desires. And they say, Moshe, we want meat. Mi achilenu basar. So what happens suddenly? Here the people spent 11 months at Har Sinai, learning Torah. They suddenly start traveling to the land of Israel. Now they have complaints. Why are they complaining suddenly? Everything was good till now. Now you're getting your dream of going to the land of Israel. Now you're complaining. So the Shem Yishmuel says a very powerful thing. He says, maybe let's remember, when was the Mishkan put up? The Mishkan was put up on the first day of Nisan. That was the day, Yom HaShmini, when all the offerings were offered, when Aaron got the mitzvah of the menorah, Nadav and Avihu die, all those things happened by Yom HaShmini. When did the people travel to the land of Israel? On the 20th of Iyar. It's 50 days later. It's 50 days after the first day of Nisan. 30 days of Nisan, 20 days of Iyar. In spirituality, there's something called the Shar Hanun, the 50th gate. Each day after the Mishkan was started, the Jewish people were going up to another gate and another gate and another gate. When they start traveling to the land of Israel, they're on the 50th gate. Now the 50th gate is a tremendous thing. Think about when we left Egypt, we left on the 15th of Nisan. The 50th day afterwards was the day we got the Torah, the 6th of Sivan, the 50th gate. When you get to the 50th gate, there's a tremendous, tremendous holiness. The holiness sometimes is so great that you don't even realize that it's holy. Sometimes there's a level that's so powerful, a person can't even grasp that he's at that level. And that's an amazing thing. A person thinks, I'm lost, I must be falling. Really, it's not that he's falling. He's at such a high level, he doesn't even realize that he's at that level. The Aron traveled ahead of them. Aron was saying, the Ark was saying, you're at a level now beyond understanding, beyond what you can grasp. And they didn't understand that. They said, if we don't feel anything, if we don't understand anything, we must have fallen. And they started to complain. And that's kimis onenim. And onen really means someone who's empty, who's missing. They thought we're missing. But they weren't missing things. They were on such a high level. That's the idea. They were trying to reach a very high level, and they didn't realize that they were really getting somewhere, and they thought that they weren't. Rabbi Nachman says that whenever a person climbs from one level to the next, when he gets to the highest level, he suddenly feels like he's lost everything. But he hasn't lost anything. He's just moving from one world to the next world to start climbing again. But in between the worlds, there's an empty space. He got to the height of one world. He's about to get to a whole new world. He doesn't realize that he thinks he lost everything, but really he's moving to the next level. That's what they started to complain. They left Sinai, and they were really at the 50th level, but they thought that they had lost everything. And then the Shem Yishmael gives a second explanation. Unbelievable idea. When a parent wants to teach a child to walk, so what does the parent do? He puts his hands next to the child. The child takes a step, and the parent steps back. And the whole point is to teach the child to walk on his own. Because if the parent would always hold the child every step along the way, the child would never learn how to walk on his own. When we were in the desert, we were on a very high level. We were on a very, very high spiritual level. We had amazing, amazing spiritual food, the man and other things. And we weren't involved in anything physical. But that's not the purpose of the creation. The purpose of the creation is not to get man and to be surrounded with clouds of glory. The purpose of the creation is to fix the physical world. If Hashem would want us to be in a spiritual world, He could have left us in Shemaim and had created us. He sends us down into this world, into a physical body, because He wants us to elevate the physical world. And that's our goal, is to transform this physical realm. So that, the real goal is not to be in the desert. The real goal is to be in the land of Israel, and to plant, and to plow, and to be involved in physical things, and to serve God. So now the nation is about to get to the land of Israel. They're about to get to the real goal. So Hashem distances Himself, because now it's time for us to walk on our own, not to be held up all the time. That's why the Aron traveled ahead. Instead of the Aron normally being in the center of the camp, the Aron traveled ahead. Now we should walk on our own. We should learn how to walk on our own. But the people were not aware of that. And they started complaining. Where's the support? Where's the help? Where's Hashem holding us up? We need to walk on our own. It's scary. They started to complain. And this is a tremendous lesson. Many times a person has a moment of inspiration, and then they don't feel as inspired. They say, oh my gosh, what's going on? I want to give up. The opposite. Hashem says, you know, I trust you. I'm taking away the inspiration so that you'll walk on your own. You don't need me to keep holding you. I want you to walk on your own. I want you to continue. And that's the whole challenge of the Misonanim, to enable us to walk on our own. And that's something we should always take with us, that whenever we feel that we're not being inspired, we're falling, on the contrary, Hashem is actually giving us the chance to walk on our own and to get closer and closer to Hashem and to really attach to Him. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to climb and to reach great things. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for coming. What's your name?